Welcome to Creating Cash Flow for October 15th, 2023. Karen Eileen, victories galore. You had a $700 vet bill for your sweet kitty cat that did not faze you. Whew. Nobody wants it, but the fact that you could maintain your equilibrium around it and just be like, okay, part of the process. Moving on. Good
Got to
for
you guys
you.
immediately. Yep.
you have plans to go out in the world and join a few group events this week in an effort to build more in real life community for yourself. Love that. The mindfulness course offered for free by the Entertainment Community Fund is awesome and bringing in a much valued level of calm. What is it focused on? Like, is it
It's
meditation or?
called MBSR, mindfulness-based stress reduction. It's a thing. And they do 8-week cohorts for free, and it is comprehensive and pretty phenomenal. And I'm amazed and happy to have found it. It's, yeah, they do it over and over again.
No, and the Entertainment Community Fund
It's
is an
formerly the Actors
organization,
Fund. Yeah.
but they changed the name because they actually serve everybody in the unions in the entertainment community, not just actors, but.
Yes.
And then you've come very close to your phase one goal of covering all minimum expenses with your contractor work since July. Woo-hoo. Still feels like a boulder being pushed up a hill, but you'll take the win, as will I. Love it. Okay, so two things here. My family situation. Oh, Karen Eileen is a cash flow tiger, by the way, and she's a VO coach, and she also a performer, triple threat, all that kind of good stuff. So, my family situation, she writes, is asking more of me now. And I'm wondering what the boundaries will look like around cash flow creation while I'm being of service. And may I mention what that is about, Karen
You may.
Eileen?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, to her parents. Her father has cognitive decline, and her mom is sort of handling that in her own ways. And Karen Eileen and her brother are the kids in that household, or in that family, I should say. So you're saying, you know, when you have a job, a W-2 gig, you may have parameters around your time. But until then, you're needing to figure out how to be physically present for meetings and Zooms on your family members' behalf while also seeking work for yourself. And when you weren't actively seeking more cash, this was less of an issue, but now it feels really foundational, right? You're doing a lot of stuff for you and your life, and then you do have this other big aspect to your life right now, which is helping your mom care for your dad. So, do I, and you wrote, cringing as I write this, ask for compensation? I'm giving a ton of my time, or is this better given freely without expectation of return? And then, related to question one, your inner mean girl is busy going on about how your world is shrinking and you'll never be able to extricate yourself as things ramp up in the family area. Yeah, the feeling of overwhelming of the caregiving stuff. Remind me that this is not true.
Please.
So, excuse me one second. So, I mean, you could ask for compensation. I'm guessing that's not going to go over well. And I'm guessing it's sort of a stopgap. And the thing about it is, it would then tie you to it. And once you start getting paid for it, no matter how little it is, now they have a claim on you and your time.
Okay.
So it adds a stickiness that I think you can navigate without having that there. And so the thing, though, then when we have this other aspect that takes a lot of time and energy, and money, how do you do it when you're trying to build something for yourself? So the good news is that as far as where you live, that's not in jeopardy in any way right now. So
Correct.
your rent is being subsidized. And you have been able to, for 3 months, cover those expenses. So you have gotten the wheel of income generation moving more than it has been in quite some time.
That's right.
So the goal is to keep that wheel moving while doing what you can for your family. And even though you are living in the same house as your parents, so proximity is like super close
Yes.
for your own sake, I would recommend that you filter everything through the filter of what if I lived in LA?
Oh
How
man.
would this happen if I lived in LA? How would we handle this if I lived in LA and I didn't live down the hall? Because your life is still your life. Your parents have given you a great deal. Yes, you are living with them, but they are also gaining a lot from you living there. And this is not, you did not move in to take care of them. This is not the deal and the structure of why you're there. So there's not that obligation that has been predetermined.
It's a great reminder because it feel like feels like
Yes, of
I'm
course it
here
does.
because yeah.
But that's not actually true.
That's right.
And where that has to be clearest is in your head. They're not going to relate to it in the same way. You're the one that must maintain the boundaries that allows you to function and keep your life functioning. So one of the things to keep reminding yourself is that I am here. They, beyond the caregiving off the table, they get a lot of stuff from me just being here. That's why they've let you be here. Like, so everything in that arrangement is being fulfilled. This new wrench in the plan is separate.
Separate. Wow.
Our parents live in this house. You live in this house. Both agreed that was fine. Everybody's benefiting. So now you are free to choose how you help them and how much you help them.
This is going to
And that
require some big girl panties for
it
sure.
is the biggest girlest panties, the ugly big girl elastic. No one, you don't want anyone to see you in panties. 100%. And it is all on you. They're not going
That makes me cranky, but
to,
okay, I don't like it.
they are not going to facilitate this.
Hey, Carly,
Keep the
why don't you
boundary
take the
open.
day off and we'll handle all the that's gonna happen like never.
But huge muscles, huge, giant muscles that will only help you in every other sector of your
Now, do I want to think about, is it a matter of I won't know how much time I have available to give them till I cross the line? Do you know what I mean? Do I have to just start and feel it out, or is it like, do I randomly pick, I'm going to give you 10 hours a week and we can use them however we want? Like, I'm trying to figure out where to start to do the experiment.
What are your office hours?
I don't currently have office hours.
When do you work?
I work lots of random crazy days. It changes like It changes every week almost. Mostly I work. Mostly I work in the afternoons till late night. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I'm experimenting with working like 4 big days and then having 3 days off. But what I'm trying to avoid is filling up my 3 days off with all the stuff to do for the parents, because that I'm going to burn out in a second.
Okay, so let's start there. So you've claimed your working hours at the moment, this schedule. So Monday starting, like on those weekdays, Monday to Thursdays, it starts when and ends when?
Gosh, I mean, I guess it starts at 2 o'clock and it can go. I'm trying to make it earlier. I used to coach, until midnight, but now I'm trying to end by 10 o'clock
Okay.
and maybe dial that back. So like 2 to 10.
Okay. And how good are you at honoring that as your work time Monday through Thursday?
Pretty good, unless somebody's banging on the voiceover door, the voiceover booth door with something that
And
feels
what
urgent to them.
usually are the things that they're knocking for?
Lately, it's been a little more legitimate. Like, there's a doctor on the phone and they have a question. I'm not sure. Do you remember? Like, so I didn't ask them to make the call while I was in the booth, but that's what they did. So typically, it's that. Like, how do we log on to the site again for the long-term care insurance? Because I'm helping them with the tech because my mom is
Okay.
doesn't enjoy the tech. So.
Okay. So you have to train them. It won't work, but I
I
want you to
love
train
this whole
yourself.
conversation. Okay,
I
train.
want you
Well,
to train yourself.
I can train myself
Okay.
easier. Yeah.
So you get a knock on the booth and they're on the phone with the doctor. Help them because they are on a phone with the doctor, and we all know how hard it is to get on the phone with a
Yeah.
doctor. So,
Yeah.
yeah, so you help them. I need to log on to the thing. No.
Okay.
Like, emergency,
Urgent, time
urgent,
sensitive.
not, yeah, urgent, time sensitive, not. That's what before 2 p.m. is for. Like,
Okay, so
if
that's
they
what I'm
want
asking.
your help, then they have to schedule that with you. Because if you are working at Whole Foods,
Yes.
what are they going to do?
I don't know. They could text me, but I'm not going to be checking my phone, so.
Are they texting your brother who works in the ER to log on to the thing?
They would
And why
not
not?
dream of it.
But why
Yeah.
not? Why
Because
not?
he's 2,000 miles away and I'm down the hall.
No,
That's what.
because your brother is unavailable because he has declared himself unavailable. I don't think he
What?
is answering texts from your parents while he's working in the ER.
Yeah, and they just wouldn't dream of it because he's far away and they need somebody to sit with them and see, like, push this and do that. And
I get that, but if he was their only child,
Oh, I see.
they still wouldn't be
I
calling him
got
because
you.
he's unavailable. But because he has made himself unavailable and he has taught them over time that I work in an ER and I'm not picking up the phone
Unless it's
unless
a
it's an emergency.
serious an emergency. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So why is your work life not as valuable as his work life?
That's a great question. That's a whole other conversation about how they value the arts versus
No,
medicine, which we're not
it's
going to
not
have
a
today.
they. It's not a they.
Oh.
It's a you.
Oh, it's a me.
Now, society reinforces that your brother's job is more important than your job, but you also think his job is more important than your job. Or else the answer would be like, text him.
I don't want them texting anybody. I don't, I,
Your job, which is getting your life to a level. You're up leveling your life. That is super important. And that benefits them.
Yes, it does, actually.
We need to really contextualize what it is you are actually doing between 2 and 10, Monday through Thursday. And this falls on you because it always falls on us, but also your brother has an important, a society agrees your brother has an important job and he has children to provide for
Yes,
and he has a
yes.
home and he's a
And he's
boy and it's all
all of
like
that.
all of it. Society just paves the way for he's an important man who's a provider. And you have to be like, yeah, and I'm awesome and I'm getting my life up level. And please do not bother me between 2 and 10
Don't
Monday through
bang
Thursday.
on the door. So do I give do, so just so I'm clear, because I need to know how to train them. Up until 2 o'clock or after 10. After 10, they're snoring, so it's really not after 10. It's up until 2 o'clock, Monday through Thursday. Schedule. And then what about my days off? On the days off, I'm looking for W-2 work, and I'm trying to like make community. So I'm not, I mean, I'd like to be
You need
laying in bed.
office hours.
Need
And if
office
they change every week, like maybe 1 week you're like, oh, I think Saturday morning from like 10 to 2, I'm going to work on this project.
hours. Okay.
I have a question for you. When you go into a building that you have never been in before, lots of hallways, lots of doors, multiple elevators, how do you know where to go? What do
I look
you,
for
how
the
do you?
directory.
Yeah. So signs that
Yes,
are
there's
posted
usually posted
that
near
tell
somewhere near the
you, and you
entrance.
can go in that door. What the, t yeah, I would start posting signs on your door. Today's schedule. Emergencies only, 10 and 2.
I kind of love this. Okay, so like literally like a cute little whiteboard.
Crystal clear.
Wow. I love
As
that.
if you were in a WeWork and you're like,
Oh
these are my
gosh.
hours. Like, don't bug me.
Okay. And is there such thing as like a decent number of hours to start with? Like I'm not even clear on like how
To
available
offer
to.
them,
Yes.
what do you feel?
Now, I can only say this in this group, and this is very emotional. This is the part of me that wants all of this to go away immediately. I want to wave a wand and everybody to be healthy so that I can go away and live my life, right? So
I
that's
get
the
it.
the inner child. So the first answer is like, I don't want to give any hours. That's the child. How many hours a week? I'm pulling a number out of my butt here. Five? I don't know if that's
Try
enough.
it.
Five?
Try it. Some weeks it'll be enough. Some weeks it won't be enough. But you don't have to make an announcement about it because if they're not gonna, your mom's not gonna comprehend,
Neither one of them
track
can
it.
retain it for different
Oh.
reasons.
It's for you. But it's going to take you denying them some things that they want. And
Oh,
then you're
man.
going to have to deal with the discomfort of having them uncomfortable or whatever they feel. But you are definitely going to feel uncomfortable.
I felt it tonight. So I practiced before this meeting. My mom had asked if I could sort of take the family on an outing as part of our time together once a week, 'cause like she's not leaving the house at all. He never leaves the house. So, I said yes, and then I just forgot to put it in the calendar, so it's absolutely not happening at all. And tonight she was like, "Can we go out to dinner?" And I was like, "I am so sorry. I'm working. You know, I can't handle like a 20-minute notice, and I that's not the way my life is working today." She came at me three different times, and so I had to very gently say no three different ways
Yeah,
with
and you did it.
kindness. And it was hard and uncomfortable, and she was so disappointed.
Okay, so your mom wants, understandably, to get out of the house once a week.
Yes, for sure.
Who can do that for her? That's not you. She doesn't need to see you out. She sees you all the time.
No, but she wants a
She wants to get out.
family
No, 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 no,
outing.
no.
Yes,
Yeah,
no,
that's
she
nice.
does. She wants
Here's the
the
thing.
three.
And here's the thing. about caregiving situations.
Okay, to remind me.
There are certain things you are going to need to help them with, and that is what they need you most for.
Okay.
So you're unavailable for some of the other things that you would normally be doing with them if you didn't also have to do this other stuff. You're now much more valuable to them when the doctor's on the phone than when they want to go to a restaurant.
Yes. Yes. And I this all has so much to do with cash flow creation and how I am envisioning my life. I really appreciate talking about it here because I know it's not specifically about how am I creating dollars, but it's about the structure around it. So I want
Yeah,
to
it is. That's why
thank
we're
you.
talking about it.
Yeah.
Here is a really important sentence. I don't know if your mom will absorb it
Yeah.
and let it land, but
Okay.
it's a good one for you to have because it allows you to say something without bringing a lot of your emotions into it. Mom, I'm going to have to say no to that now so I can say yes to some of the other things you need me for. I need to say no to this so I can say yes to some of the other things you really need me for.
I'm gonna write that down. Makes my heart hurt, and that's okay, just because I feel like I don't get to be like sort of daughter as much as I
Fun
want.
daughter. Nope. I
I
didn't
don't
get to
get to
be
not fun daughter.
the fun friend and the fun sister.
Yeah.
Because I was
Okay.
doing a lot of other things. It
Yeah.
sucks. It sucks.
Thank you. Thank you for verbalizing that. Just thank you. Yeah, it sucks. The reason I want to wave my magic wand and have all the illness go away is because then I get to be fun, happy daughter, and we can go out and have dinner and go. That's not how their journey is unfolding. And I guess there's some, grief, sadness, anger, rage, whatever it is, it's all swirling around while I'm trying to like raise
Yep.
the barn of
Yep.
my life. So, yeah.
So, if you weren't there, who would your mom go out to dinner with? Like, who would take her? Does she need to be taken?
I think she would like to be taken because she's got so much responsibility. She feels like she's a babysitter 24/7 at the
Yep.
moment. Yeah.
She, and we have to let her
Yes.
reach her limit so that
Yes.
she accepts help.
Yes. That's what's demanding. That's happily what's demanding more of my time and energy is she's finally decided to open the door to letting in maybe like a home health aide or something. So that's a huge
Yeah.
victory. Yeah.
And even if you hired, if she would like to go out to dinner with your father
Yeah.
and she feels she needs a third person there,
Yeah.
you could hire someone just to go out to dinner with them,
Yeah.
like a babysitter person. That's what we do with our kids.
Yeah.
Like if she needs a support person, and it would give her someone fresh to talk to, she might enjoy that.
So the answer is sadly there is nobody here. They don't have a sense of community here. They don't have the support system they need here. So at the moment I'm sort of it.
And it is very difficult to bring in outsiders, but I think this is part of you going out in real life and finding people. But is there a hospital or a doctor's office that could recommend somebody maybe who works at the doctor's office who could wanted to pick up a couple extra hours in the evening, going out to dinner with your parents once a week? Like, is there, who can do this? But regardless, you, it sounds like, can't do that for them. So maybe your mom doesn't go out to eat. Maybe you do it once a month instead of once a week.
I got, yeah, okay. Yeah, so basic. My brain wouldn't even have given me that. Oh, maybe it's not every week. It can be.
Yeah. And how long have your parents lived in that area?
Oh gosh, 2007. What's that math? 16
So
years.
over 10 years,
Oh yeah.
you cannot compensate for the fact that they didn't develop a wider net of community.
Ooh, that I feel that here. Yeah.
It's not like they just moved here a year ago, okay?
Correct.
They are two adults who have lived their life in the way they wanted to live their life.
Yes.
And now they are living the consequences. And I don't mean that in a bad pointy finger way. They're just living the consequences of their choices. And you are over here doing work and creating cash flow
Yes.
to build a life that works for you.
Safe to talk about this. It's safe to talk about this. It's safe to talk about this.
Office hours.
Okay.
Office hours, and then start with the 5 hours a week. You
Okay.
track it. Don't announce it to them, but just
Yeah.
say, and then when you get to
Right.
the end where it's like, I have to say no to this so I can say yes to the other things that you really do need me for, Mom.
I'm
Sorry.
gonna get, yeah, I'm gonna get the little whiteboards, because if she can access it any time of day, 7 in the morning when she's first getting up, then I don't have to tell
Yeah.
her a dozen times. Yeah, that's brilliant.
And then maybe you can say, write it on the whiteboard if you need me. Like, I need help logging onto this thing.
Ah,
And I'll
that's good.
see
So
it.
she can leave
And
me
then,
a message. Okay.
yeah, no guarantee, but
Got it. No, got
it's
it.
a good way
Yeah.
for her to, like, in the moment, just have something
Yeah.
to do.
Okay.
And then her list of people she can call, that's not you, your brother,
Okay.
your aunt, like, whoever they have. If you
Okay.
were not there, and you are not on this earth, who would she be asking?
Yeah.
You're brave, you're strong, you're doing good work. It is hard. It's not you, it's hard. That's why it's hard, because it's hard.
Think it is a safe place to say this in the group. Like, I feel like there's so much tension in my throat because I feel like there's things I'm not saying to her. Because I don't yet know how to say it without being like a screaming banshee girl. So I probably need to yell into some pillows or have a big cry or something, because there's all kinds of stuff going on here.
Yeah, and write it out. You can write that letter and just not
Yeah.
give it to
And not
her,
send
not
it.
press
Yeah.
it. Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
You're welcome very much. I'm sorry.
Thank you for that as well.
Yep. Therese? Am I getting that name right? Thank you, Karen Eileen.
You are. Is
Therese, oh, you put it right there for people like
it there? Okay, great. Because
I love
sometimes it
it.
doesn't always show.
Therese, I love.
Hi,
Hi.
Christine. How are you? I don't know if you remember, but you gave me the wisest advice in the whole world a few months
Refreshing my
ago. And
memory.
I think I was coming to you because I was receiving a large chunk of money. And I
Yes,
felt,
yes, yes. On the mindset call.
yes, on the mindset call. And I was
So,
feeling a little
yeah.
bit, conflicted about wanting to use the money to kind of help my family out, and kind of similar to who was just speaking, who you were helping out, because it
Thanks.
was, I got on and I was like, was that my question? Because that's exactly how I was feeling. But you gave me the greatest advice that, honestly just kind of stuck with me this whole past few months. And it's been an anchor, really. Just reminding me that, my happiness is my choice, and it's not, my other people's happiness is not my responsibility. So, yeah, it was a
Well,
lot more than that, but thank you.
I remember now. Last time we talked, you were like, I could see the kitchen and the front door, I think. Something.
Yeah, well,
Thank
we're
you.
also renovating the house, so I'm in a different space now. A lot of stuff going on, but like Karen, Aileen, I'm just like trying to figure things out. So that's why I'm
Oh, we're all doing that.
Yeah,
Not in
oh,
our different
okay. Great, great. I love
Yes.
that.
So, Therese, you are. One of the businesses you're focusing on right now is your HARP business. You offer performance services for weddings and corporate events. And you've been steadily growing that over the past few years, and you have about 10 to 15 weddings and events a year. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. And you joined this program.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Yes.
All right.
I
So
can give you a condensed version of the first question if you
do
would
it.
like. Okay, great. Yes, because I know it was a lot, but I was trying to give you context. So I have been absent from a lot of the calls because I've been working privately with Miata and organizing my finances and creating a forecast for next year. She reminded me of your awesome program, so I just recently signed up and I've been going through the courses. I've been going through the audio course, and I believe right now I'm on communication, so I'm not completely done. But since we are creating a forecast for the next year, I kind of wanted to start asking you little questions, just to kind of get things together. So, I'm sorry if you're repeating anything, but I will, get the information because I'm still listening to it, which it is so good, Christine. Thank you so much for creating it. And
You're very welcome.
it's just, it's great. I love it. It's helping me out so much. So yeah, like I said earlier, I've kind of been doing this for 2 to 3 years. So I've been figuring things out by myself for a while, and I'm like, oh, well, now I have help. So now I'm in a point where things are growing and I would like them to continue to grow. And I would like to, just help continue to grow. So the first question I had specifically was, as I'm creating this forecast, just how do I think about my, I guess, marketing budget? Because there's certain things I can do for my harp, like maybe do a wedding expo or sign up for services like The Knot, but that's a monthly service. Where you can pay from 250 or up, depending on how much your business makes. So what do you think about when you're creating that kind of budget? If for your, like, do you think about how much revenue you made already, or how much basically money you have to spend on that? Does that make sense? In addition to that too, I also want to say that I've been utilizing social media heavily, and that's pretty much where most of my clients come from, because I'm very comfortable with social media, so that's what I mostly do. And I use other free services like Zola and, excuse me, The Bash. And I'm also teamed up with wedding planners and DJs, as a recommended service. So sometimes I get a lot of stuff from my uncle, who's a DJ too, through his business. So, but I just want to also help spread the word as well of my services.
Yeah, so like should the budget be based on like what you have? Like, oh, I have
Because
enough to
I can
pay.
spend a lot. Like, I mean, I can afford to spend more than I normally would, but should I is the question, you know?
Yeah, or should you base it on like, okay, this is the amount of like a percentage of my revenue should be spent on marketing. I mean, I think the number I would assess in your shoes is like, I'm not going to spend more than this percentage of my. I may not spend all of that percentage, but I'm certainly not going to spend more than. So you have an upper limit because there's always things to buy and things you can do. And it's like, it's easy to start chasing. Oh, this might help, and this might help. And it's just all money that goes out.
Yeah, that has definitely been a pattern for me, so.
It's, that's normal of figuring this stuff out, like, oh, wait, that. So the thing about, so there's a difference between marketing and advertising. So advertising, I'm assuming that's kind of like the Knot where you pay them and then they put your stuff.
Yeah, you're listing up.
Marketing usually has a bigger punch because it's more personal. Either you're speaking about your business, your past clients are speaking about your business, someone who's used you is speaking about you to other people. So that marketing is a little more grounded and personal. Whereas advertising is sort of like, well, we all know she paid to get her thing there. So how good is she?
Got it. So would it be kind of like social media would be marketing? Because I'm doing reels and I'm doing client testimonials on my page, but like advertising would be me paying to boost a post.
Yeah. Exactly. Anytime that someone can go, oh, she paid for that. That's advertising. And it's just a notch. I mean, think about yourself. What do you hold greater weight with? Somebody that your friend's like, oh my God, you have to check this out, or a boosted post that randomly pops into your feed. It's not
That's a
to
good
say
point.
that, I mean, advertising exists because it does work, but it works in certain contexts, better for certain businesses. And what it's really good for is if you've gotten enough of the word out, and then just pay for ads to be like to keep top of mind.
I see.
Coke doesn't think you don't know that Coca-Cola exists. Coca-Cola knows you know Coca-Cola, even if they stopped all advertising. The reason they advertise is because they're like, we want to get you when you're thirsty. We want to be top of mind, top of mind, top of mind when you're
Or
thirsty.
when you're planning your Christmas party or,
Exactly. Top of
Christmas.
mind, top of mind. They know that it exists, but they want it to be your first choice.
Yes, I see.
That's why, like Domino's Pizza, you know, they're running their ads from 5 p.m. to like 10 p.m. Some people
That's
are
a good
wanting
point.
pizza. So you don't want to go advertising until you can be assured of a return on that investment.
Got it.
Expensive. So before I would advertise on the not, I would call a few of the other people who are advertising, not harpists, but other people who'd be not feeling competitive with you,
Yeah, of
and be
course.
like, but that's close enough. So some sort of entertainment or ambient atmosphere for an event, and call them and go, how long have you been advertising on there? Have you seen any return? Like, what's the deal?
Okay, I love that. That's
I
actually
would
really
at least
helpful.
check it out because the knot can tell you all day long that their site gets 100,000 impressions a day and your thing is going to be seen. But yeah. But is it going to be seen by the right people? They don't know. So a business of your size, that kind of monthly expenditure, it's a lot. And you could do it for a whole year and be like, oh, I didn't see anything from that.
Yeah,
And
that's what
not
I'm
would
worried
tell you,
about.
gotta keep continuing because people will see la, 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 la. So marketing is where you kind of where I recommend you stay until you have money to burn. I mean, like Facebook ads, you should not do a face. I'm not saying this to you, I'm saying this just in general because a lot of people are like, oh, you should do Facebook ads. I'm like, until you have money to burn, literally, you should not do Facebook ads.
It's not
So,
worth it.
marketing.
Perfect. So helpful.
Now, if you found this place that if you were like, oh my God, they're like my ideal client, like they do exactly what I need, and you wanted to put a little ad on their thing. Because back in the day when blogs were really big, putting an ad on a blog where the people who visited the blog needed exactly what you wanted, and the blog was always talking about the whole thing. Like, that's a good way to advertise. So, smaller, cheaper, targeted would be the
That's it.
only way I'd think about advertising.
Targeted. I like that. Yeah,
And
because like you
then,
said earlier, it's so easy to just like, oh, well, I'm sure I could get something here, but yeah, that targeted really works.
yeah. And so then when I think about marketing, I'm always asking, like, okay, where have I gotten clients from? Like, what has worked for me? And is there a way I can make that work better or work again with a different funnel source? Like, and putting your money, like, if you've had, let's just say, really good experience where, boy, when I'm in a room with people, I usually meet like three or four people that end up becoming my clients. Well, then put your dollars into getting you to events where that occurs. So I'd only spend money on something that I thought was a pretty good bet. And I'd assess whether it's going to be a pretty good bet based on has it worked in some related way for me in the past, or oh, that person did that and it worked really well for them, so I'm going to do that. You can really see it's all a gamble. You just want to pick things that you're like, ah, I can afford to do it, and it has a pretty good chance of working.
No, and that makes so much sense because where I'm at right now, I'm just starting to get momentum and getting more clients and getting word of mouth and all those different things. And what you're saying makes absolute sense. Like, just keep doing what works and keep focusing on that until I have money to burn, right? So I don't have to feel compelled that, well, everyone's on the not, you know, well, if that works for them, that's great, but this is working for me.
We don't even
So
know if
that's
it works for
helpful.
them. We don't know
Yeah,
if it
that's
works
true.
for them. We just know they're there.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true. That's a very good point because I am on different services and like sometimes that doesn't even get me anything. Those listings that I do, like I usually get it from the people that I've teamed up with or, you know, social media, like I said. So it doesn't make sense now that you're saying all this, it doesn't make sense to just pay for another service or pay for a service when I already know that that's not really where I get most of my clients anyway. So
Yeah.
thank you.
Another way of thinking, because sometimes we think about our marketing money as something we actually, okay, so I've got to market and I have some money. So I'm going to find a place to like, what should I spend it on? Going to this event or conference or do, but another way you can spend your marketing dollars is on you, like taking a day off of work. Your job, so that you and spending that money into your rent so that you can afford to take a day off so that you could research podcasts that you could be on or something like that, or research more DJs to connect with.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's a
So your
great way of
marketing
looking at
dollars
it
can go toward making time in your schedule to do research and connection stuff.
too. I love that. That's really great. Awesome. And then the second question that I had kind of fell under this umbrella. It was focused on it's a little shorter, so you probably can see just making sure I get those client testimony because, you know, every now and then somebody just doesn't want to write the well, not that they don't want to, they just don't always respond. And then, like, I always feel uncomfortable by, you know, like reaching out multiple times about it. And it doesn't happen all the time. Most of the time, I do get reviews and they're always really great. And I don't even think that it's like negative reviews, I just think people forget. Do you think, like I said in my question, do you think that it's a good idea to kind of have an offering? Like if you, because I see it sometimes with some people's businesses, like if you post my review, your review on, you know, Zola or something, you can get a $25 gift card or something.
Again, if you had all the money in the world, sure. But you don't. You want this, you need profit from your business. I would rather you spend money on a tiny little gift for people who refer you. When people refer a client to me, I get this chocolate bar and I put a big bow on it and I put a little note just saying, like, a referral is the highest compliment of all. Thank you so much for sending Andy my way. We had a great session, blah, blah, blah. And then that goes in the mail to them. So that the whole thing, including postage, is around 10 bucks. So I would rather thank someone who just referred someone because I want them to refer another person because Andy was an easy client. She just fell into my lap from this person. And I consider that marketing money. Making sure people are thanked. And if you can't afford a gift, a note card is fine, but an
Got it.
acknowledgement.
Definitely.
So, are what you're asking people to do for testimonials to actually go on a site specifically and say, could you leave me like a Yelp review or a thing on here? Or are you just wanting their words for you to use?
Yeah. Oh, it, specifically right now, because this was before I signed up for site specific sites that have you do that. Like you have to get the reviews directly from the person. So what I've been doing, I've been if you can leave a review on this like job form, basically, and I take the reviews and I'm updating my website and I was just going to put it on my website. And then sometimes I'll take the reviews and I'll put it on Instagram too, like make a nice reel. Yeah. So I've been like using it.
So it's harder to get people to post on a site like Yelp or Amazon or whatever because it's like multiple steps.
Extra work.
Yeah. But there's a way to make it easier. And then there's always just the value of getting their words for you to use on Instagram and blah, blah, blah. So here's what I would recommend. You send them an email that says, you know, it would mean so much to me if I'm so happy that we had like a great blah, blah, blah. It would mean so much to me if I could capture a little bit of the joy that you felt about my services. Because I know that goes a long way to helping someone else decide if I'm a good match for them. So you could absolutely just reply back to the email with a few sentences. If you have extra time, here's the link to post on this whatever. So give them the link and then here's the step-by-step instructions. And I mean, step by step, like if you're writing them for your grandmother, go to the click on that link above, find the blue button and like that. Because I personally, Christy Noller, if someone gives me like really clear step by step, I'll be like, maybe, okay. But this is the thing that will help you the most is in your little message to them, you also say, and I wrote a little something at the bottom that captured the spirit of what you said to me, you know? Just as a jumping off point, feel free to like write your own or tweak anything below, and then you write the testimonial.
Got it. Make it as
Oh
easy
my
as
gosh,
possible.
Therese was just the best. It was such a joy working with her. And be specific, like, oh, like if they said anything or let's say you were playing harp as people like walked into the event. She just set the tone from the moment our guests entered the. We could feel that she shifted the vibe of the room. Like, you know, write it specific to what happened, but also specific so it's not just she's great. More than
Love
half the
it.
time, people will be like, that sounds great.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, use that. And then at least you have that language that you are now cleared to use on your own personal marketing. It is easier to rewrite something than it is to write something from scratch. Nobody likes staring at the blank screen. But if you write three sentences and someone's like, that's not how I would say it like this, they immediately know
What
how
to
they would say
say?
it. And then they say it the way they would say it. So much easier.
So true.
But most
That's
people will be like, that
spectacular.
sounds great. Yeah. That was a shock to me. My very, very, very first person I ever had as an organizing client. And I was like, can you write a testimonial? She's like, write something for me. I was like, oh, I thought you could do that. And then so many, yeah. Oh, okay.
God, that's
Yeah.
funny. Yeah, I would feel the same way though. Because you trust
People,
they,
so
that means they trust you. So you're like, oh, okay.
those blurbs you see on the back of books by famous people. Somebody write
Say no more.
that are not even the
Who
writer
has
of the book.
time? Right? Like, how does Oprah have time to write a review? Right?
But it's not just that. If you notice and you look, because some books have like just the back is all just blurbs. Notice how each of the blurbs says some slightly different thing about the book. Yeah, that someone crafted all of those so that it highlights different things about the book, because you could ask five people to give you blurbs and they all kind of say the same thing. Well, that's not useful as much as blurbs that talk about all the different parts of the book. Yeah. So I'm just saying that, like, don't feel bad. That's how it works.
No, like let's take the veil up, right? Let's see what's really going on.
So you send them that email.
Okay.
This is my little request. Here's the step-by-step instructions for these two places. If you want to do that, here's the blurb
Yeah.
that you can tweak. And then 2 months later, send them the whole thing again. Hey,
Yeah.
just circling back. Just forward that email that you wrote before with a little
Yeah.
message, circling back in case you have a moment.
Might even do a video, like a personal video. I don't know. I'm getting ideas now. But okay.
If
Also,
you
don't want to add
want,
more work,
but
yeah, to myself.
save those videos, contacts that you're reaching
Oh,
out to.
okay. I love that. Okay, yeah. Got it.
That's much better use of marketing. Like, hey, I'm not a psycho. Here's a video showing you how nice I am. Yeah, that's.
Yes. Okay. Cool. Oh, Christine, you did it again. Thank you so
You're welcome.
much. This is
Let's
so
say you have
helpful.
5 clients, all you, but never replied to your testimonial emails. You can use that in so many different ways. Like, just did wonderful events for blah 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 blah. Such a delight to have such wonderful clients. Well, to someone who's evaluating, I'm like, oh, well, she worked with all these people. I don't even need to hear from the people. Nobody reads testimonials. They just are like, oh, look, all these people that they got to say nice things.
Okay. That's good.
It's like if you have no testimonials, that's the red flag.
Oh yeah.
So you put testimonials so there's not just the empty red flag of like no one. And occasionally you get
Okay.
one person who will read all your testimonials because they really, 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 really want to be sure. And that's great.
Yeah, great. They're there for you. Go for it. Okay. That's great. This is all awesome,
Oh,
especially
good.
the whole marketing versus advertising. Thank you so much for clearing that up, because that makes me feel like a little less pressure from like needing to spend money on extra things. So yeah. Thank
So my whole
you.
thing is I don't like to spend money unless I have to spend money on
And
stuff.
that's kind of what I want to think of, because like I said, I'm kind of getting out of the habit of feeling like, well, if I don't spend money on this, then how am I going to make money? And blah, blah, blah. So,
Yeah. So start with a marketing budget of like $200 a year. And then just be crafty and go like, what would I spend that on? And then I trust your common sense and your ability to trust your intuition that if an opportunity comes along and all your lights light up of like, oh my God, this is amazing. Yes, $100. No, like you'll know that though. Or you'll be like, oh, this could be good. Let me do some due diligence until all the lights light up. And I want to do it. So you can spend more, but just wait until it's like,
Yeah,
let
where
the
I'm
universe show you.
really,
Yeah.
love that.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Awesome.
Good questions.
Oh.
I like how your brain is thinking and where you're going with this.
Yeah, well, thanks again for the audio course. I love going through everything. And yeah, thank you again.
You're welcome. I'm so
Appreciate
glad it's
ya.
resonating. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Cricket. Cricket is a cash flow tiger. Her side business is film festival strategy and consulting for filmmakers. She wrote, "It's been a big week. I had a great time at the Tallgrass Film Festival, moderating panels, networking, meeting new people. I had a wonderful meeting with a client who's doing great, getting into festivals, is very responsive to my coaching. Another person who attended my Ask Me Anything sessions, a woman I've never met, wrote me out of the blue and told me she was getting into festivals and winning awards with your advice." Okay, that's amazing. Congratulations. How was your energy at the festival? The energy of ownership, the energy of leadership.
You for asking that. I just reviewed my notes from the last time we spoke, and it went pretty well. I learned a lot. I think that one of the things that really surprised me is that I had a lot of emotional support from places that I didn't anticipate it. And this was based on Zooms I had done preparing in advance, and so it, with the panelist, and they were just wonderful. And when things went south, which they did, they were there, and they clued me into some issues that I realized were not controllable by me. They had nothing to do with me, but they gave me information that was very helpful. I was given a volunteer, assigned a volunteer the whole time, and so I had to be a leader. Like, I had someone to give tasks to. And that went really well. Like, there was a moment where there had been a huge miscommunication, and we were supposed to go live right at the moment that I was informed that somebody had put another panelist on our panel without informing me. And I was able to handle that. And there were a lot of witnesses to it who talked to me afterwards about how I handled it in a really professional way. So I feel so thankful that we talked about the energy before I went. And then I feel really thankful. You've said something, Christine, about my energy and how you perceive it, that I just got that feedback from people, other people that I did not know. Like, we had a Zoom, we talked about things, and then in the moment, they were like,
What did they
they saw what you
say?
saw, I think.
Which was?
They saw that
I
I
want
was
you to
very,
say it.
they saw that I was very dedicated, and I feared that I had been mean in the moment, that things were going very badly, and they were like, "Oh no, you handled that very well. You were just very serious. You were seriously trying to solve the problem." So, I felt really, really supported by you, by them. It was
By them, yeah.
pretty wonderful. Interestingly
Did you feel
enough,
supported by yourself?
I feel supported by myself. Oh, you know what I did? I'm just gonna brag because I still can't believe I did this. I took my yoga mat and I did yoga classes
Do
every morning. I did a 30-minute yoga class every morning. There was one morning where I had extra time and I did a 50-minute one. And I think that I am now somebody who travels with a yoga mat.
why? Why? Because how does it help your business?
I was so much calmer and I think really focused. And also, I'm not the person, in the film festival world, the nights go very late. And I'm like, that is not me. That is not me anymore. I am not the person. I really like 10 p.m. and I'm ready. I'm out. I don't need to be there. I want to connect with the people who are up drinking coffee in public at 9 a.m. Those are my people. And the yoga mat, I got to be, I acted like my regular self at home. I did my routine. I continued I took my routine on the road. And it worked
Nope.
because
It's
I
called
felt very grounded.
alignment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. And the reason people didn't feel you're mean is because you have this baseline essence of warmth.
Oh,
So
thank
when you're
you.
being direct and serious, it's infused with the warmth. So it comes off as dedicated and serious and not mean.
It's fascinating. It's very it's fascinating to me to see this. And because it happened very quickly, no warning, mistakes were made, not by me. I'm trying to clean up other people's mistakes. The person who caused the problem apologized afterwards. So
Nice.
that was good. That was really good.
Lovely.
Thank you for saying
I
that
love
about
that. And I'm
baseline warmth.
congratulations.
Let me write
Absolutely.
down that.
Baseline warmth.
Baseline warmth. Right.
Okay. So you had a couple questions. You wrote, I've realized I'm overwhelmed with maintaining the finances for my side hustle. I have a specific bank account for receiving payments, and I quickly move the cash from that account into my savings account. But I realize I have some expenses coming up that I would want to go through the business. How should I be managing that account? Because I think I should pay for those expenses out of the account. Okay, so is it that you're like, I like to get the money coming in and then I like to push it into the savings account so it earns interest. I'm
Yes.
assuming that's why it goes out of that account into that account.
Yes.
Okay. So, and you have some expenses. Do you have like a dedicated business credit card?
Not yet. Not yet.
I don't mean a credit card with the name of your business on it. I just mean a credit card that you have that you only use for business stuff.
I haven't done that yet, but I think I could easily do that. Yeah.
Do you have multiple credit cards right now?
Yes.
Could you just you turn one of those into your business credit card?
Yes.
That's the easiest way to do it.
That's the easiest way to do it.
And then you pay. Yeah. Be just because what the IRS wants is to see your money is kept separate. They just want to know that you're not like futzing around and not declaring income, basically, and not declaring expenses from your personal life on your Schedule C, your business. Like they just want everything separate and
Right.
they like to see it separate.
Okay.
Separate checking account, separate credit card, separate, separate.
Okay.
And that's what I've been doing for years. I have, my husband and I have personal credit cards. We have a joint credit card that we each have, you know, one of them, the same one, same number, but we each have a card so we can each do household expenses. And then actually, my husband and I have, he has a copy of my business credit card so that if you're like, go to Staples and get me that thing and put it on the business card, like, so he can do those kind of things for me because it's easy. But all I've done through all these years is just had a checking account that was dedicated to my business and a business credit card. And that's how I keep all my, because you were asking here, should you incorporate LLC, S Corp? Where do we begin? Now, I am not giving tax advice. I'm not giving legal advice. I'm not giving financial advice. I'm unqualified for all of those things. I can just share with you my personal thing. which is not necessarily a recommendation of what you should do. It is just literally what I've been doing. But I'm actually not incorporated. And I have just kept all the money separate over the years. I have not been audited, so I don't know if I'm doing anything wrong in that beyond what I can assess. And but that's worked. It works really well. Just keeps everything separate. But I don't, you, whenever I do anything for my business, I want to know what I'm getting out of it. Like, why do I have to do this? What is this expense for? So, like, back in the day, when I was selling things, physical products and stuff, to get the paperwork and everything, and for the city license, I had to have like a publishable address, but I didn't want to publish my home address, so I got a PO box. Well, I know what that's expense is for. I understand why I have to have it. You know, I like to know. So this incorporation, I'm not at a place where it's gonna affect my taxes. I'm almost at a place where the nature of my business is changing, so I need the legal protection that an LLC will provide. But as far as financially, for me, there's not that much like savings because you have to weigh that against paying the corporate taxes and funneling things through payroll and blahdy blue, you know, and how much time and attention do you want to devote to that or pay someone else to devote to that? So there's a lot of factors. And I just like to weigh them all as I make my decisions. And sometimes I make decisions that aren't necessarily the ones that's going to save me the money. It might save me time. It might save me headache by not doing it, even though doing it would save me money. I'm always weighing like all the factors. And I just went through a period of my life where it was like, I didn't have the time for anything. So it was like, I don't care if that would save me money. I don't have the time to like do it. So little baby businesses, you don't necessarily need to incorporate, necessarily being the keyword. I can't advise you, but you can just go along and get your business credit card, business checking account, and just do that.
And then it's okay to keep moving the money out to my savings account, personal savings account.
Absolutely, because this is it's all your money. This is all your money. It's not your business's money until you incorporate. Then there's another entity. Right now, it's all Cricut's money. You're just keeping it separate so the IRS can be happy. That's all. So you could have, like, here's another thing. Let's say you got $1,000 into your business account and you're like, ooh, let's move that over to the high yield savings account. But then you wanted to pay for something and it would require, like, maybe then your credit card bill comes in for your business and it's $200. You can just move that money back into your checking account if you wanted to write a check or you needed to pay online. You can move that money back and forth so it can stay and collect interest until you need it to be over here. Perfectly okay. The IRS just wants to know that that $200 was paid from your business for a business expense, and you can prove that it's nice and neat and everything's accounted for. We even do our Quicken in this, our personal and my business stuff in the same Quicken account. It's just separated out so we can print out all the forms separately for the business for taxes.
Great.
Yeah.
That's easy. I can do that.
Yeah, like start there and then find out if there's more that needs to happen. And that would be a question for Miata. And then you were asking, you maintain a database of film festivals on Google spreadsheets. And you're wondering if there's another more advanced yet user-friendly database that you could use. So my question would be, what do you want the database to do for you? What is it not doing for you now that you're like, oh, I wish it would do this?
That is a very good question. I'm not sure I can answer. That is
what's
a
your
very
irritation
good
with Google Spreadsheet? Because the answer to your question is, oh, of course there's another program. There's millions of programs.
Of course there is. Right. You know what? I think.
And all of them will irritate you in some way.
Right.
All of them, there will be one thing they don't do.
Everything's going to irritate me. You know what? I think that. I don't know the answer to either of your questions at the moment. I don't like the way it looks. And I know that that's, and I'm, but I'm not sharing it with anyone else right now. And I also, there are things about it that I know that I know enough to know that I don't know certain things about Google Spreadsheets. And one of my students got frustrated with them and he said, Cricket, I'm going to come teach you how to use this better. He's like, I'm an engineer. This makes no sense. So I think I need to take him up on his offer to come teach me how to more effectively use the spreadsheets. And then maybe I'll come back, circle back to this question once I've had my lessons.
Yeah. And it's sort of like, you want to figure out what's frustrating. Like, I keep trying to like pull up this information really hard because it's in a spreadsheet form. And if it was in this kind of way, then I could see it better. Or I want to see this at a glance. Right. Or I want to sort people like that. Once you start knowing what you want to do with your data, then it's easier to find something. You might Google, though, what's a better free alternative to Google Spreadsheets?
Okay.
What's a easier free alternative to Google Spreadsheets? Because somebody may have designed a spreadsheet that's just like prettier and whatever.
Okay. That's great. Thank you. This is very helpful.
You're welcome. And I sensed, you know, when I read your questions, that there was like, oh, my business needs to grow up. Like it needs to put big girl pants on. And it's like, not until you need it. Not until you need it. Do I have an example? Okay. So I've been coaching for eons. And when I have a client, I pull out a blank piece of paper and then I write this line down here. Uh-huh. And then I put their name and the date of our session. And this side of the page is for notes that I take, that I, stuff I want to send them. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, I'm going to send her this, or oh, I'm going to mm-hmm. share that link. Mm-hmm. These are my personal notes. Or,
okay.
And then this side is just where I can like write notes as she's at there talking. And like, this is me processing the call. And then if we're going to have another session after this one, it gets a post-it note next time. Ask about this, talk about this, do this.
Okay.
And then this gets shoved into a thing like, okay, done, appointment's done. It goes into a little filer, like a little bin to be filed. And at the end of the year, it goes into just one of those plastic sheet covers in a binder. And then I can flip through the binders alphabetically if I need to find a client. Like if a client comes back a year later, I'm like, oh, let me take out their page.
Right.
That's it. No special form, no online coaching data thing where you put everything in pretty. This has served me. That's because in the way that I work, that's all I need to do my job.
Yeah.
I don't need to then take this form and spend a half hour typing all the information into this special thing and then having pretty thing that I pay $59 a month to keep. Like, you know, if I needed that, I'd pay it. And then just this year, Kate and I committed to this program called Paperbell because it allows people to. I held off Calendly, all of these scheduling things. I'm like, they don't do what I needed to do. They just don't. It was more frustrating to do it that way than to just pay an assistant to do all of the scheduling with clients. But finally, someone created something that really does work for coaches. I love it. She thought of everything. And it's like someone could come and pay and schedule and sign the contract and get follow-up emails. It just took care of
Wow.
everything. And so after, I mean, I've been coaching for over 20 years, and just this January did I automate the scheduling of my sessions and pay for it monthly, automate the scheduling of my things because I finally found the thing that worked and it made sense. And I did it because I needed Kate to be doing other things in my business, not schedule. This could replace a big chunk of what she was doing. This could do it well. That freed up her to do other things. I didn't buy it because I wanted to feel like a grown-up coach, which is why a lot of people getting into business, they're like, I want to feel like I'm in business. So I have to have all the things. And I'm like, you know what makes me feel like I'm in business? Profit, left cash left over at the end of the month really makes me feel like I'm in business. Not even thinking corporate. I'm in business because I say I'm in business. And then I buy the things that I need and must have, and the government forces me to buy. Those are the categories. And then sometimes things just because I want them for the business, but never to make it look like I'm, no, it's function only.
Well, my instinct is to keep things as simple as possible. And I think that the question about the spreadsheets is very preliminary. I
Yeah.
think that it's probably, I see that there's some notes in the chat, so I'll take a look there. And thank you, everyone. But I think that if I can keep this as simple as possible, it will be very beneficial.
Yeah, lean. The way I think that I've been able to weather the recession, and during that recession in like 2009, my husband also lost his job, and then there were increased cost caregiving for my sister, and then the pandemic. And it's like I think I've been able to stay afloat because my business was so lean. It just doesn't carry a lot of overhead. And I think that enabled me to sustain myself during quite a few years where I didn't have the bandwidth to market or to grow it. But my costs were just so low that even if my income decreased, I was still okay. Or if even, you know, expenses rose a little bit, it's just the business expenses were so low. Yeah. Yeah, you actually, I never talk about how much money my business makes because that number is meaningless unless you know all of my expenses. Because I could be making $300,000 a year, but you wouldn't know if my business cost me $350,000 a year, or if my business cost me $20,000 a year and I'm raking it in. It's a meaningless number. And when people throw out that number, they're not telling you the whole story. And I have seen, and from various ways, either I know the person and I know the numbers of their business, or I've taken coaching programs where the coach was, it was about business, and she, and I'm in one right now, and she's like, this is my back end. And it's like fascinating what she, how she spends money and like what it costs her, like, whoa. And yeah, she's making a lot of money, but whoa, are her expenses like. And then there's people who are like, my business is a six-figure business, and their margin of profit is like razor thin, because they've hired people and have all the systems because they thought that's what they needed to feel like a business person. And I'm like, oh God, okay. So you knowing how much someone makes, and by the way, it's a business bringing, I mean, you can learn this from Shark Tank. We have a $1 million business, but we're not making any profit. They've had venture capital and they're earning, people are buying $1 million worth of their product, but they have supply issues and they're not making any money. It's wild how many businesses are not profitable. It's crazy. So that's why I don't talk about the number, because unless you have the full context, it's meaningless.
Cool. Thank you.
You're welcome. Because people can be earning low six figures and be living a great, stress-free life, because their profit margin is just so big. And people, we can be earning high six figures and be sweating it every single month.
Right.
Yeah.
I prefer the first option.
Right? Right. But it's hard because we see things and we don't know the full story, and then we compare ourselves and then we think, oh, I'm not doing so great. It's like, you don't actually know how you're doing unless you look at your own numbers.
Right.
Yeah. And you're doing great, but this is tiny little side hustle right now. It's growing, but you just keep that little thing lean, lean, lean.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
I'm doing it.
All right. Good.
Thanks, Christine.
You're welcome. We have 7 more minutes. Anybody got a burning question? Or do we feel complete? Let me know.
Can I ask
Yeah.
Cricut to share information about your business? Because I have a short film and I'm trying the fe and I would like help with festivals. If you have, like, I would love to know more information.
There you go. I just put a duck in the chat. Thank you for your interest, Jen. I have baseline warmth. That is my and a lot of knowledge.
You need a shirt, it's just baseline
Well,
warmth.
that's what I feel like. That's why I'm asking, because like I have resisted like getting support in this part, and like but I having seen you talk, it's like I feel like I would really like get along with your vibe. So there
Thank
you go.
you. Well, take a look at that and hit me up if you want more information. Thanks a lot.
Sweet. Helen.
Hi,
Helen,
I don't have a question. I
hi.
just wanted to say hi and share a quick win.
Yes.
I've been working with this designer that I got a job with for the past few weeks. And so far, so good. I'm definitely, noticing areas where I'm going to have to hold myself accountable to some boundaries. And mostly seeing that her, like she's just not used to how some things are run. So her assumption about how things are run is not true. And I'm getting a feel for how comfortable I am to be like, actually, it should be this other way. But we're getting there. And the win this week was we had our first photo shoot where I was the stylist. And it went really well. And I feel good. And if the whole day, the other girl that she hired to be like her project manager was there assisting, and the whole day that girl just kept being like, oh my god, you're so good at this, and she trusts your opinion so much, like you're like, she keeps asking for your opinion, and like you just have so many opinions, because she'd like hold something up and be like this, and I'd be like, no, this. And the other win of it was that the photographer that she hired, I had worked with on one of my very first assistant stylist jobs over a year ago. I follow her on Instagram. We've like kind of interacted, but I wasn't sure if she would remember me. And she was like, oh, hey, we worked on that shoot together. And we were like chit-chatting a bunch. And she was like, so are you trying to, I was talking about how I assisted these stylists that she's worked with. And she was like, oh, so yeah, you're still doing that. Are you trying to go solo? And I was like, I mean, I would take solo work. She's like, yeah, I'll refer you. I'll totally refer you. So she's going to refer me as a lead stylist. So then I think I'm going to bump up my prices again.
I created a monster.
You have. but it's been fun because I got my kit together and I'm learning. I had a whole experience about like, I need to teach this designer about why you pay freelancers kit fees and rental fees, because she rented a bunch of beautiful accessories. But like, to me, the priority is off because she spent thousands of dollars on beautiful antique things that you have for just the day. But then like, she didn't buy people lunch.
And oh, like,
what are we doing? What are we doing? And also she didn't buy the thing that I told her to buy. So I bought it myself and we ended up using it. So.
Yeah. And you got more for that day, right?
Yes. And she even gave me extra. She gave me an additional chunk because I went and did returns, which to my mind, she was I charged her hourly for, but she was like, here's an extra chunk of gas money for all of the return, all of the running around you had to do. And I was like, okay.
Okay. Ah, yes, yes, yes. Big win. What a wonderful day for you.
Yeah, it's great. I'm excited to see the pictures.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Helen. Yay. Yay. 3 minutes. Anybody else? Elizabeth Abbott. Are you muted? I think you're still muted.
No, I'm not.
That's right.
So I've had more interest in my dialect coaching, and I'm having some people that are not my ideal client. I'm trying to put together some classes, and my ideal client is a working actor that understands that this is not just a class on for people that are ESL learners that want to improve their English. It's an acting class where we're learning different accents to explore character options and see what you can do with your voice. And this week I had a couple people contact me and say, I'm really interested in classes and I'm just trying to figure out if I should offer an accents for dummies class. It's like, I had a woman that was like, I'm interested in voiceover and I want to work with you. So I did a one-on-one session with her. She doesn't have a microphone. She doesn't know anything yet about how the industry works. She's done no, like she's barely at the beginning of research and she just wants to improve her speech, which I think is great. I don't know that she would be in the same class as someone who's had acting experience. And so I'm trying to figure out how to vet people. Because I can put the class information on my website, but then I just wanting to figure out how do I figure out what level people are at so that the class isn't dragged behind or so that I'm not too advanced for the people that don't know how to do this. And so that I'm not too slow for people that already understand things.
Do you want to do a class or is this a class you're thinking about doing in response to requests?
More in response. I really like the acting class more because it's people that are invested and we have more fun and people expand their acting ability. And so then they're not just parroting back exercises that we learn. They're actually learning how to incorporate it in their acting.
Yeah. So do that class and then do privates
with for the other.
Anybody else.
Okay.
Anybody else.
Okay. Good. Because I was kind of tying myself in knots going, do I offer two classes? How do I differentiate this? Yeah, that's simple is best, right? simple is the word for me.
Simple designed around what you want. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So now people have a choice. But if they don't qualify for that class, then it's a private, period.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
People come to my website and they want to buy an hour with me, and you cannot do it unless you work with me like here. Like, you guys could buy a private hour because I already know a little bit about it and we have the same language, and then we'll use, but anybody else, 90 minutes. I get asked quite frequently, okay, just have an hour. No, no, it won't work. Mm-hmm. And that's me leading. And I lose, even the phrase, I lose clients because of that. I don't lose clients. Not everybody can be my client. Not everybody is my client. Not everybody's your client. Mm-hmm. You're not going to lose your clients. You're going to lose people that you are not the right match for, mm-hmm. financially or what you offer.
I think sometimes I'm still like, grabbing at what's being offered because they're there and they're willing to do it. And I
yeah, well, let them pay your private rate.
Okay.
I mean, I saw your hand, Kate.
Oh, I would just wanted to say that one of the teachers that I've worked with in the past, who's affiliated with the Atlantic Theater, for her classes, she phrases it like to apply for the class and you have to submit your resume. Mm. And so she gets to see what everybody's training is. And that can just take a lot of the angst out of it if that works for.
Okay. Thank you.
That's great. Or just a free Google form. There's free forms where it's just sort of like ask four key questions. Mm-hmm.
Which I have on my website for privates, but I'm still figuring that out for the classes. And some of these people wanted classes because they said they didn't want to pay for the privates. And I get that, but if you're not even invested in any training ever, then that's just not.
It's too much work for you. Mm-hmm. And you want to do a private, I mean, you want to do a class when one, you really want to teach the class. And two, you know, you can like fill it with enough people. But, and I learned this the way everybody learns it. I, you know, earlier on, people would come to me, oh, could we maybe do something like this? And like three people, but I couldn't fill it. It's just, and it was just like, it's so much work for these people who couldn't afford the other, like, no. I promise you, the more, Liz, you hold firm to your pricing, and then the more you keep putting yourself out there in the world and letting people know you exist, you're going to find your client. You're so good at what you do. You're going to find your clients. And I want you to just hold rock steady to those prices.
Okay. I'm really struggling with some of that, but I'm trying to get through. The whole marketing thing, I still feel like I'm like, me, look at me. And I don't, it just feels icky. But I'm working on looking at it differently, where I'm offering something that they want and that they need and that they'll be grateful for. So I'm working on that mind shift, but it's still pretty deeply ingrained in my brain.
Yeah, there can be some deep conditioning. Marketing, I never want to talk about marketing and the things we do for marketing flippantly. Like, just put yourself out there. You should just do this. Because it's hard for some people. Some aspects of marketing go against my grain and they're really hard for me. Not everything works for everybody. And visibility can have a lot of stuff, a lot of baggage around that. Even I had to work through some stuff around that. I'm still working. Every time you expand into your next comfort, outside your comfort zone, you're like, oh, I don't know if I'm ready to be seen yet. So good for you for continuing to do the work, Liz. You keep, I love it. I love seeing you every time you're here. I'm like, she's still in it. She's still with it. You're still trying. But it is an equal part putting yourself out there and holding firm to your prices. Because that's how you're going to get people to pay it. Mm-hmm. You're going to get people to pay it because you're requiring them to pay it to work for you.
Mm-hmm. And I think when I have a lull, that's the hard thing too, where I'm like, okay, I need this. But this week I did have a girl, she got a call back and then she didn't get the part, but she was so grateful. And I had someone else who said, I'm so excited to work with you. And so that makes me go, okay, my prices are great. This is great. And then when there's a lull, I'm like, yeah.
Everybody you'll ever meet who does anything entrepreneurial, that's the easiest thing. All of our lizards come out and go during lulls. Oh my God, just grab the money, just wherever you can find it. Sale, 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 put on sale. Yeah, yeah. Yes. Our lizard just knows that's the easiest thing to say, to just suck us back into the cave and hide. And the lizard doesn't like to work. So it's like, oh, you're desperate. Have a sale. And you just got to be like, no. What you do in a lull is you think of, okay, what is something I haven't tried marketing wise? Like, who's someone I can call? Who doesn't know I do this? Who hasn't heard from me in a minute? Even your past clients. Hey guys, it's fall. Just checking in to make sure how things are going. Always here to support. Somebody might be like, oh, right. I wanted to. Mm. So the lull time is for when it's like, okay, how am I going to gather my courage and do something else to get some people? It's not the time to lower your prices. Mm-hmm. Time to just market some more.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Thanks for going over. Welcome.
Yes, you're worth it. I adore you, Liz. You know that.
Thank you. I adore you.
Mm-hmm. All right, lovelies. That is good for us. I guess I will see you in November. It'll be a couple weeks, but we will meet again. Thank you.
Thank you, Christine. Thanks, everybody. What a great session. Thank you. Bye.
Bye, Jen.